الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى. The first of our salawat in honor of Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. The second in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. The third with your loudest voices in honor of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Respected scholars, brothers and sisters, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Kumail ibn Ziyad al-Nakha'i occupies a prominent position in Islamic history as being revered as one of the greatest companions of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. A man from whose life many lessons may be learnt and many fantastic examples may be derived, and a man who's seen as the embodiment of passion, bravery, sacrifice and dedication towards the cause of the religion of Islam. Tomorrow night is an example of a night where over 100 million people in the world remember a supplication which honors this man. For many of us, on a Thursday night, remember a supplication which is known as Dua Kumail. However, while his name has been mentioned on the lips of many of the followers of Ahlul Bayt for many years, you find very few people who actually know much about the life of Kumail ibn Ziyad. Indeed, if you were to ask many people to tell you the whole life story of Kumail ibn Ziyad and the lessons which one can learn from his life, you find most people's knowledge is simply limited to the dua, as in most people only know about Dua Kumail. However, this personality, Kumail ibn Ziyad, is a personality of the highest reputation within the school of Ahlul Bayt, and indeed within the religion of Islam. A man who lived during the lives of the Holy Prophet, of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, of Imam al-Hasan, of Imam al-Husayn, of Imam Zain al-Abidin, of Imam al-Baqir, and the first few years of the life of Imam al-Sadiq, salawatullah wa salamu alayhima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Because Kumail ibn Ziyad died at the age of 84. He was killed by Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. And therefore, Kumail ibn Ziyad was a witness to some of the most important events in Islamic history. Kumail ibn Ziyad is not just a person revered within the school of Ahlul Bayt. You find that he's a personality who's revered by the Sufis, who's revered by the Baha'is. Virtually every school in the religion of Islam reveres Kumail ibn Ziyad. For if you're looking for spirituality, look no further than Kumail ibn Ziyad. If you're looking for dedication towards the religion of Islam, look no further than Kumail ibn Ziyad. And indeed, if you're looking for one of the greatest stands ever against oppression, look no further than Kumail ibn Ziyad's stand when he was killed by Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Therefore, there's a need for us to dissect the life of this personality. For not only does he open the doors for us of early Islamic history, but also for us to understand how this man revealed to us many of the secrets of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. Because of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen's closest companions, the names that are normally mentioned are who? You normally hear Abu Dhar and Salman and Ammar and Miqdad, Khuzaima and Hudhayfa, Malik, Hujr bin Adi, and people like Amr bin Hamaq al-Khuza'i. Likewise, Kumail ibn Ziyad is one of the closest of the companions of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. Let's dissect his biography by looking at his origin, looking at his stance alongside Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, asking the fundamental question, where was he at Karbala, and how is it that he lived for 21 years after Karbala? Let's dissect this and dissect his biography in complete depth. As you can see from his name, he is Kumail ibn Ziyad al-Nakha'i. The Nakha'is, one would assume, if you were to ask where was Kumail born, many people straight away assume that Kumail was in Kufa, as in the majority of the life of Kumail was in Kufa without a doubt. However, Banu Nakha' are a tribe from Yemen. Kumail ibn Ziyad is one of the companions who was originally a Yemeni. You see, Yemen has an illustrious history when it comes to the religion of Islam. There are few countries in the world which gave as many dedicated servants as Yemen towards the religion. People like Malik al-Ashtar were Yemenis. Uwais al-Qarani was a Yemeni. Kumail ibn Ziyad was a Yemeni. All of them were living in Yemen while the Holy Prophet was living in Medina. You see, Kumail, by my historical understanding, was born on the first year after Hijrah. And therefore, Rasulullah at the time was where? Rasulullah was in Medina. Someone asked the question, how did Islam reach the people of Yemen? As in, how did Kumail from Banu Nakha', how did Kumail and his tribe come towards the religion of Islam? Kumail ibn Ziyad, what happened was, Rasulullah was spreading ambassadors to different parts of the world. Of course, when you are a messenger of God, you don't just want to limit your message to Medina or Mecca. You want to propagate your message far and wide, in order that people are able to learn from the message that you are giving. He would send this ambassador to this city, that ambassador to that city. Different ambassadors were sent to the cities. Why were they sent to these cities? To clear up misconceptions. Because you know, someone may have misconceptions about the Prophet, that the Prophet Muhammad is a man who's looking for power, he's a man of arrogance, a man of envy. You'd send a messenger to those cities so that not only is his reputation cleared, but also at the same time the religion of Islam is understood and not misunderstood. Rasulullah knew the people of Yemen were beautiful people, and without a doubt, the people of Yemen were people of great repute. Imam al-Hussein, one of his options, if he didn't go to Karbala, was to go and live in Yemen. Because even his cousin tells him, one narration says his brother tells him, Aba Abdullah, the people of Yemen looked after your grandfather. Why don't you go and live with them? They are people of good reputation. You found Rasulullah had sent Khalid ibn al-Walid. Khalid ibn al-Walid, Rasulullah said to him, go to the people of Yemen and spread the religion of Islam to them. Khalid ibn al-Walid went towards these people, but the attitude of Khalid ibn al-Walid did not bring them towards the religion of Islam. You see, there are certain companions in Islamic history, when it comes to the sword, they are well known for using the sword. But never in your life will you ever hear one line of wisdom from them about the world and what happens in it. As in, I defy you to look at certain great so-called companions in Islamic history. I defy you to show me one line of wisdom from them. Yes, someone's going to tell you, Companion X spread Islam, Companion Y was a great warrior. Then the next question I always ask is, give me a line of wisdom about this world from that companion. So what do you mean line of wisdom? He says, well, this is a great companion, he's a man of wisdom. Give me one line which I may learn from. That is what differentiates Ali ibn Abi Talib from any of the companions. Ali ibn Abi Talib, with his one line of wisdom, he can explain to you the whole meaning of this earth. There are certain people who may have been known by the sword, but you don't have one hadith of wisdom from them. I'm not saying from Rasulullah, from them, where they narrate by themselves about the philosophy of this world. You found that what happened was, Khalid went to the people of Yemen, Banu Nakha', Banu Hamadan, the Nakha'is and the Hamadanis. Later, the Hamadanis would be great supporters of Al Muhammad. But when Khalid came, they looked at his attitude. They said, we don't want this Islam. This is not the religion we want. Rasulullah heard about Khalid's performance there. Rasulullah said, remove yourself, do not worry. He then asked Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said, Ali, go to the people of Yemen. They are good people. Spread to them the religion of Islam. It's narrated that when Ali ibn Abi Talib went to the people of Yemen, as soon as he entered, they thought to themselves, not another Muslim ambassador, for goodness sake. The last man that came, we didn't understand a thing from him about Islam. Who is this man? Banu Nakha had a way. If they didn't want you to stay in town, they'd pelt stones at you. Which means, get out of our town and don't come back. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen got there. Khomeini narrates, as soon as he got to our area, what did we do? We saw that he was an ambassador of the religion of Islam. We started pelting stones at him. He said, those who were around him said to him, Ali, let's go. Let's leave these people. He said, no. Stay here. Let them keep pelting the stones. They kept on pelting and pelting until they noticed Ali ibn Abi Talib hasn't gone. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen looked at his companions. He made it clear to them that maybe they have been misinformed about what Islam is. Let's be patient with them. Because you know, if a person doesn't explain Islam properly, that person can destroy this religion. You know that? If a person doesn't explain. Sometimes you have certain people speaking in the name of Islam. They've caused more killings in this world than they've caused people coming towards Islam. They sit on steps higher than all of us. But sometimes what they talk about, you want to tell him, excuse me, get down quickly, I beg you. You're causing deaths, not happiness. You find that Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, what happened? Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, he came towards them. Khomeini says, he explained to us Islam. Within a few moments, all of us wanted to join the religion of the Prophet. Because the man explained the world with wisdom. The man explains the world with honor, with dignity. When we heard the Islam of Ali ibn Abi Talib, straight away we wanted to join that religion. Therefore, what do you find? You find Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen is the one who established Islam in Yemen. He is the one who was sent by Rasulullah to the people of Yemen. He established Islam over there. And that's why Khomeini says, I was only 11 years of age, 10 years of age, when the Holy Prophet passed away. And we used to stay there in Yemen. We used to hear about what was happening in the Islamic Empire. He says that until we realized that the center of the Islamic Empire was now Kufa. He says after we had lived in Yemen for a long time, myself and a few other Yemenis went to Kufa. That's why many of Imam Ali's greatest companions, not only they lived in Kufa, they were from Yemen. So Malik al-Ashtar went to Yemen, Uwais al-Qarani went to Yemen, went to Kufa, Uwais went to Kufa, they all went to live there. Khomeini is seen in many reports of history to have emerged first where? In the time of Uthman's caliphate. That Khomeini was with the other companions of Ali ibn Abi Talib. All of them were living where? All of them were living in Kufa. They were living in Kufa. Their imam, irrespective of who the Khalifa was, their imam remained Ali ibn Abi Talib. As an irrespective, you may have one Khalifa, second Khalifa, third Khalifa. Ali ibn Abi Talib is their imam, irrespective of who the Khalifa was. But what they began to notice was that Uthman ibn Affan, as Khalifa, was choosing his family to be governors. The governor of Kufa, when they were in Kufa, when Khomeini was in Kufa, was a man by the name of Walid ibn Uqba. Walid ibn Uqba is Uthman ibn Affan's relative. Walid ibn Uqba, the Quran had already attacked his reputation 30 years before he had become governor of Kufa. Of course, it's a good thing on your CV to have the Quran attack you. You'd make a good governor, isn't it? You find that the Quran had attacked him in which verse? In Surah 49, verse number 6. In Surah 49, verse number 6, Allah speaks of the incident when this Walid ibn Uqba had become a Muslim. And Bani Mustalaq, a tribe, had become Muslims. Rasulullah, what did he do? Rasulullah, at that moment, he asked Walid ibn Uqba. He asked Walid ibn Uqba to go and collect taxes from Bani Mustalaq. Walid ibn Uqba originally used to hate Bani Mustalaq before he was a Muslim. And Bani Mustalaq used to hate Walid ibn Uqba. But now that they both become Muslims, you'd expect them to get on with each other, isn't it? To get closer to each other. Rasulullah told Walid ibn Aqba, he said, Walid, I want you to go to Bani Mustalaq, and I want you to collect the taxes from Bani Mustalaq. You found that Walid ibn Aqba walked towards Bani Mustalaq's tribe to go and collect the taxes. When he got there, he noticed that the whole tribe had come out of their houses. Now imagine, you two weren't friends before. When you've seen the whole tribe come out, if you have good thoughts, you'll think they've come out to welcome you. If you're a man who always thinks bad about people, you'd automatically assume they've come out to attack you, isn't it? So he turned around, he thought, you know what, these people have probably come out to attack me. They probably joined Islam like me. I've got no real intention to stay in this religion. But it's the status quo to join. You know what, they're probably going to come out to attack me. He returned back towards Medina. When he returned back, he said, Ya Rasulallah, I have news for you. He said, what is it? He said, the whole of Bani Mustalaq have become kafir again. He said, sorry? He said, all of them, they've all become kafir. Rasulullah is like, all of them done their shahada under me recently. What do you mean they've all become? He's like, no, I went to see them. They all came out to fight me. I can tell you they've all become kafir. As soon as he said this to Rasulullah, Allah revealed the verse in the Quran, Surah 49, verse 6. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu. أن تصيب قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. Oh, you who believe, when an evil man comes to you with news, verify the news. Otherwise, you'll put the people in a state of ignorance and you'll regret what you've done. The worst thing you can ever see in any society is Chinese whispers, isn't it? As in, you may get in any community, when there's Chinese whispers, you may end up ruining the reputation of someone. Then later on, you regret ruining that person's reputation. But at the beginning, the Chinese whispers are what happens. The Quran said, when an evil man comes to you with news, verify that news. Rasulullah described him as a fasiq. He said, this man's an open sinner. Get this man out of the Islamic State. He was excommunicated from the Islamic State. Abu Bakr removed him. Umar didn't give him any position until Uthman ibn Affan made him his governor in Kufa. You see, what was the downfall of Uthman? Uthman's downfall was family members becoming governors. That's what people saw, the nepotism. Kumail ibn Ziyad says, Salat al-Fajr was taking place in Kufa. While Salat al-Fajr was taking place, this person was leading Salah. The person was leading Salah so drunk that he recited 4 ruk'ahs in Salat al-Fajr. Salat al-Fajr is how many ruk'ah? For you to reach 4, how drunk must you be? He reached 4 ruk'ahs of Salat al-Fajr, then he turned around, you know, it's normal in Salah to turn around. He turned around and he said that, people, do you want me to continue with the Salah? Shall we go on further? You found Kumail ibn Ziyad, Malik al-Ashtar, amongst others, were a group of 10 of the companions of Ali. They stood up and they spoke out against this Walid ibn Aqba. This Walid ibn Aqba exiled them to Sham. He said, only one man can look after these, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. When they got to Muawiyah, Muawiyah looked at Kumail ibn Ziyad. He said to him, Kumail? He said to him, yes. He said, how dare you speak out against the person in Kufa? How dare you disunite the religion of Allah? Muawiyah saying, how dare you disunite the religion of Allah? Kumail looked at him and he said, it's that man who's disuniting. And Allah tells us to beware of corrupt rulers. At this moment, Muawiyah looked at him and he said, the Quran says, obey Allah, obey the Prophet, and obey the leaders from amongst you. I am from the leaders amongst you. He said to him, you're not my leader, nothing to do with my leader. My leader is someone else. I will never obey you, nor will I obey that man. Muawiyah said, very well, you've been exiled from Kufa. I'll exile you and Malik al-Ashtar, even not only from Kufa, from Sham. They exiled him where? To the land of Homs. You know, in Syria, you have Halab, you have Homs, you have all of these cities. They exiled Kumail ibn Ziyad to where? To Homs. Until eventually Kumail ibn Ziyad made his way back to where? He made his way back to Kufa and he sat with Malik al-Ashtar. He said, if these governors of Uthman are not going to listen, then we'll speak out against Uthman. Let's all go to Medina. 10 of them went to Medina. They spoke out vehemently against Uthman. As in, who was it that spoke out the most against Uthman? Kumail ibn Ziyad, Malik al-Ashtar, Muhammad ibn Abi Hudayfa, Abdurrahman ibn Udays. These people spoke out the most against Uthman until eventually Uthman was deposed from his position. When he was deposed from his position, Kumail ibn Ziyad says, when Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib became caliph, we thought that the people would honor Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. People would respect him. He says those 4.5 years with Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib were the most turbulent years we ever faced in our life as human beings. He said, I have never witnessed hatred like the hatred I witnessed against Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, this man, when I was 10 years of age, he's the reason we, the people of Yemen, became Muslims. If it wasn't for him, none of us would have joined the religion of Islam. And now when he becomes Khalifa, from every angle, those who saw him give victory to Islam when he was younger, one by one they started coming out. And I tell you, Kumail says, the confusion that began to affect us, the Sahaba of Ali, was a confusion you would never want to see. Because every day there is an attack on our leader, and there are wars against him. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, 4.5 years he was Khalifa, 3 civil wars against him. Name me one man in Islamic history, 3 civil wars in 4.5 years, from every angle. And Kumail says, we finish Jamal, they attack him in Jamal. We finish Safin, they attack him in Safin. He said, there were days when we'd sit with each other saying, why is it that so many have a hatred for this man? Those of you who study Rijal literature, go and study under Kaf in the Arabic alphabet. Study Kumail ibn Ziyad. Do you know what they write? We do not take narrations from Kumail ibn Ziyad because he had too much love for Ali ibn Abi Talib. As if love for Ali ibn Abi Talib is a crime in the religion of Islam. Where do you think this hatred came from? Kumail even says, he goes, but the Imam would remain open with all of us. Any of us who approached him, he was remaining calm with us. He remained a wall of unity for us. He said, even I remember one day after the Battle of Safin. Listen to this narration. He says, I remember one day after the Battle of Safin, we were walking past the house in Kufa. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen was with me. I heard from the house the most beautiful Quran being recited. A man recites the Quran in the middle of the night. I looked at Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. I said to him, oh Imam, this man reciting Quran, the words he recites are so beautiful. He says, the Imam looked at me and he said, Kumail, one day I'll remind you about this man. He says, in the battle of Nahrawan, when the Khawarij were fighting Ali ibn Abi Talib, when the battle finished, he says, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib came up to me. He looked at me and he said, Kumail, do you see that man who's died over there from the Khawarij army? He said to him, Mola, of course I see him. He said, do you remember that night me and you were walking past the house? And you said to me, look how beautiful the Quran is from the man's house. I said to you, wait, there'll be a day. He said, that man lying there is that same man who was reciting the Quran. What's the point of him reciting the Quran when he doesn't know my position within the Quran? Isn't it? What's the point of reciting the whole Quran, memorizing with the most beautiful voice, if you can still come out and fight me in the Battle of Nahrawan? Therefore, Kumail, in all of these years, what do we find? He says that in those years were the most turbulent years for the companions of Ali. We lost Malik al-Ashtar. We lost Ammar ibn Yasir. One by one, the companions of Ali ibn Abi Talib were dying. And he says that I was even myself in a state of confusion. They said to him, what do you mean? Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen made Kumail the governor of Heat. Heat is 130 miles from Baghdad. It's on the banks of the Furat. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib had made him the governor of Heat. Kumail was in Heat, and there was another companion of Imam Ali by the name of Ibn Rab'i. This Ibn Rab'i, the other companion of Imam Ali, was the governor in Kafar Qus. Kafar Qus was another area. This Ibn Rab'i is one of the last men to have struck Imam al-Hussein's neck on the 10th of Muharram. He used to be a governor for Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. See how the world is? He used to be a governor for Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. What Kumail says was, I was the governor of Heat. This person was the governor of Kafar Qus. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan knew very well that if he can depose that governor, he'll make inroads towards Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, I was in a state of confusion. Ali ibn Abi Talib had written to me saying, Kumail, never ever remove yourself from your city. I have put people in their different cities and they should never go and leave themselves. He says, I was the governor of Heat. Muawiyah had attacked the governor of Kafar Qus. He said, when I saw Muawiyah attack, I recognized that how can I leave the city under attack? Even though Ali ibn Abi Talib told me not to leave my city. He said, I was in utter confusion. I left my city alone. I went to defend who? I went to defend Ibn Rab'i. When I went to defend him, what happened? He said, I received a letter from Ali ibn Abi Talib. And this letter is in Nahj al-Balagha. Letter 61 of Nahj al-Balagha. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib to Kumail ibn Ziyad. All of you read it tonight. Do not neglect Nahj al-Balagha, brothers and sisters. Don't make it a vase which you sit in your house with dust on it. Open and read. See the wisdom of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib writes the letter to Kumail in letter 61 of Nahj al-Balagha. Kumail, what has happened to you? Are you in a state of confusion? Didn't I tell you to remain firm? You find Kumail ibn Ziyad says, I didn't know what to do. We were facing an absolute barrage of pressure, of attack at that time. We're holding on to Amir al-Mu'mineen, but Muawiyah is launching attack after attack. And we do not know what our stand has to be. Therefore, Kumail says that those early years with Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib in his Khilafah were the most difficult years to live as a Sahabi. To hold on to your faith was not easy. But he says, there are times when Ali ibn Abi Talib can see that you're going through difficulty. Those are the times when he takes you by the hand and reveals to you the secrets of this world. He says, there are nights which I spent with Ali ibn Abi Talib where he increased my yaqeen and my faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of the great sayings we have from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib are given to us from Kumail ibn Ziyad. For example, the famous line Kumail ibn Ziyad narrates, Imam Ali told me, O Kumail, knowledge is greater than wealth. Many of you have heard this great line. We always hear it from who? We hear it from Imam Ali, from Kumail ibn Ziyad. You have to protect wealth while knowledge protects you. Isn't it? You have to protect wealth while knowledge protects you. Wealth, the more you use it, it decreases. Knowledge, the more you use it, it increases. Isn't it? Wealth, there is a day where it goes. Knowledge, there's a day where it remains a legacy forever in your life. That narration came from where? That narration came from Kumail ibn Ziyad. Further than that, Kumail ibn Ziyad narrates, one day, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, he put his hand towards my heart and he said, O Kumail, know that these hearts are the containers of knowledge and wisdom. And the best of them are the ones that can take the most. Therefore know, O Kumail, that people are of three types. There are those people who are what? Who are knowledgeable in the philosophy of religion and the ethics of truth. Number two, there are those people who are seeking to acquire that. Number three, the third group of people are what Imam Ali called the hamaj. You know what the hamaj are? A fly that continuously surrounds the light. That is what is known as hamaj. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen said the third group are this hamaj. Absolute no man's land. You don't see them going out to gain knowledge. You don't see them going out to improve themselves. Truly, those words of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib apply to us. There's one group of us in this mosque today and around the Muslim world. We are well versed in the ethics of truth and the philosophy of religion. There's a second group of us who are saying we're not well versed, but we're trying to come and learn more about ethics and religion. Then there's a third group. The whole year they don't pick up books on Islam. The whole year they don't read at all. Do you know how many Muslims go a whole year without reading one book on Islam? Do you know how many Muslims? All the people, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulallah, knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Yet you see many Muslims who haven't picked up a single book in their life. Some Muslims who haven't picked up one book the whole year. You find Kumail, what does he say? Imam Ali said people are of three types. There are those people who are well versed in the ethics of truth and the philosophy of religion. Number two, those who are trying to acquire it. Number three, like the flies that surround the light. Absolute no use in this world. Absolutely no use whatsoever. Likewise, that Kumail, what else does he narrate for us? We have supplications that have reached us from Kumail ibn Ziyad, from Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. One supplication which has reached us, Dua al-Sabah. You know the Dua al-Sabah, the morning Dua? That Dua al-Sabah which we have, one of the most beautiful supplications in the school of Ahlul Bayt, that supplication reached us through Kumail ibn Ziyad from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Another Dua which reached us from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib through Kumail is the famous Dua we recite tomorrow night called Dua Kumail. Kumail narrates, it was in the mosque in Basra. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib was giving us a talk. He said, all of you should recite the Dua of Khidr. Dua Kumail is originally the Dua of Prophet Khidr alayhi salam. He said, all of you should recite this Dua, the Dua of Khidr. This Dua, recite it either on the 15th of Sha'ban or on a Thursday night or whenever you can. This Dua removes evils from your life, removes all forms of envy, and removes any suffering that will exist in your life. And truly, everybody, when they heard the Dua, you found that many of them, what did they do, those who heard the Dua? Many of them started to leave. They heard, they said it's beautiful, they went home. Kumail says, I stayed behind. I said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, can you teach me the Dua? Because I don't just want to listen to a Dua. I want to make sure the Dua spreads in the life of people forever. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen looked at him like he said to him, the hearts are containers of knowledge and wisdom. He knew Kumail ibn Ziyad from all of his Sahaba. Kumail ibn Ziyad is the one who can memorize this Dua of Khidr. Because of memorizing the Dua of Khidr, this Dua became known as Dua Kumail. And do you know Dua Kumail is a miracle in the life of the human being? It's one of those Duas, wherever you hear it in the world, if you hear it in the middle of the Dua, you can continue it yourself. If you hear it at the end, you can continue it yourself. Anyone gives you any segment, you can continue.